Yo, funny enough, bro, I've been searching up polyamory like hell.
Yo, honestly, I believe in it to an extent. I feel like, I feel like everybody should be able to do whatever they want to do in their own household and whatnot. But like, with my belief system, I believe that it works in favor of society when it comes to polyamorous relationships, like having multiple wives. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it as beneficial with multiple husbands.
Mm.
But it's not like I'm saying, oh, I don't think women should be able to do it too. I believe in equal rights. But as far as like the benefits of it and being able to raise a family and have like one person, if they are the breadwinner of the household, support multiple women and multiple families, I feel like the world could be a better place.
Mm. You know, I actually never really thought about it like that. Because for me, it's like, I usually think about at least like the polyamory that I've been like mainly like focused on, mm-hmm. is like having like a main couple and then having other couples within surrounding that couple, yeah. right? Because yeah. then you got the type of polyamory where like, you know, you could have multiple wives, multiple mm-hmm. husbands. Yeah, but it's weird because I find it like when you mix monogamy and like they're both like there's a thin line between all of them, right?
Yeah.
It's like when you have, I don't know. I actually like never really thought about like marrying more than one girl. I've always just thought like having my main girl.
And yeah, then not for me though. I'm happy with just one that is absolutely enough for me. But I understand it for other people.
Mm. The thing is like too, like we're just like sexually like interesting beings too and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Word.
Like I don't know. It's weird. I've been diving in because it's funny. I recently started talking to like a couple. They're like 45. And one's a husband and wife, right? Mm. And like shit almost got busy recently, you know. And we're just talking about it, and it's
that's because they've probably like been married for years and looking to add a little spice to their relationship and whatnot. But I feel like there's limits with that. Like, I mean, I've never had a threesome, but like every time that I've heard a story about that, it always gets a little weird at some point, and it's just like, okay, you're giving this person a little too much attention, and like egos get involved and stuff. So it's like, I feel like it's such a dangerous space to tread in that I'm like, I'm good. Y'all can keep all of that. I'm happy.
I honestly believe that it all comes down to communication, because there's a trifecta of communication.
Yeah.
It's understanding, the ability to actually communicate what you're feeling, mm-hmm. and then listening.
But what if somebody doesn't want to accept the communication? Like, what if you do have a threesome and you have a throuple and one of the people in that fall in love and they're just like, hey, look, I know like this is what we had arranged at first, but honestly I'm falling in love with you and would love to have you for myself. The communication is there, but that other person could be like, nah, I'm not really for that. And then somebody feels like they're being wrong, but it's like, yeah, no, it's not what they agreed upon. But I don't know, I feel like feelings get involved with all of that. Like, people can act like when they have sex with somebody that they don't feel anything and they don't want to do that again or be with them and whatnot, but I feel like that connection can be a little too strong at times.
I think it's really up to the person to like really figure out like what they want to. Like, mm-hmm. for example, like I used to believe that, like, for example, I was a very like giving person, right? And I was very just like, for example, if I grabbed your thigh when we were driving, if we were holding hands, I used to just believe like that was like love in itself. Yeah. Like me doing that to another person meant that I was in love with them.
But that's your love language. Mm-hmm. That yes. doesn't always yes. match up with the
so. Communicating that to other people and also finding out like for myself like what that actually means to me. Like, for example, sex might be a love language to some people. To other people it might just be another action, you know. And it's weird because you can develop feelings through sex.
I think it depends on a person.
Exactly, right? So like, for example, for me, like when I was younger, I was just like holding hands, you know, like grabbing another girl's thigh while I'm driving. Like, I used to I used to believe that, like, that was made me feel like I was in love. But then after a while, it was kind of like I met another girl, then I was involved in a throuple, then I was involved in a quadruple. Ooh. And then, like, based on their communication and going through my own ego, going through my own, like, selfish tendencies and really understanding, like, what the situation is and if I want to be a part of that situation, because not all relationships are equal. And polyamory in of itself, since there's a thin line between monogamy and polyamory, especially if you have one couple that's the main couple, right?
Yeah.
And if you're that third, you're obviously not going to be treated equal.
Yep.
But accepting, okay, do I want to be a part of this relationship even though I'm not part of the main? Mm. And I think for the beginning of when I was in that throuple for the like first like 6 months and stuff, it was me really figuring out that. Mm. It was like, okay, do me and this girl have a genuine connection that can lead to like something like as serious as marriage? Mm. Or are we just good as like best friends, you know? Because you have friends in your life that you wouldn't marry, right? Like you have best friends in your life you wouldn't marry.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it, your wife in the future is what? Your best friend.
You know what's funny though? I've never, there's only one girl, but other than one girl, I've never dated anybody that I didn't think could be my wife. Like I didn't want to, because you know, accidents happen. Sometimes, you know, you don't pull out in time. I mean, never me, thank God, but sometimes people don't pull out. And
that's me.
Sometimes you end up in a relationship with somebody who maybe wasn't taking care of themselves sexually, and you both have STD and got to stick it through or whatever. Mm. Like, there's so many things that can make somebody randomly have to just be tied to someone. And I just never wanted to risk that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I just always look for somebody that... There's been women that... I think it's the reason why I've only dated, other than my wife, I only dated one other girl for like 3 months and nobody else like past that time, because I never saw the potential in other women. There was a woman that I would like talk to for about like 2 to 3 weeks and just be like, yo, you're nice, but like you don't seem educated. I don't feel like you would be able to raise children to that capacity. And it's not like I'm expecting that of you right now, but it's about the potential.
Yeah. I definitely know what you're feeling, because for me, it's really hard to talk to girls. And to be honest, like, I think in the past 4 years, I've only, like, really have talked to maybe, like, two girls, like, seriously.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
24.
It makes sense then. Yeah.
24, yeah. Do you want this to be a part of the podcast, by the way?
I thought we were recording.
Yeah, I mean, we are recording, but I usually just have it as a warm-up.
Patreon. No,
did you want it to, or did you want to start now?
We can, yeah. I didn't say anything that I think I'll regret.
Okay, so I'll just do the intro, and we'll kind of just leave that part in. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's what
I mean. All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
And non-binary.
Welcome to the AOTO podcast. We're back. That was a whole intro that we've never done before, but that's lit. We love different conversations out here. Today, I got a different guest for you today. He is a rapper, artist, musician, video maker. I've actually been peeping you for a little bit now, man. So it's actually great that, you know, the world's finally aligned. But my dude, take a couple seconds, minutes, and let the people know who you are.
Good with it. I'm Samad Savage, and I paid my taxes but still didn't get my return. So what's up, IRS? Life is good though. I feel happy. Recently started dabbling in CBD, so I've been a little more, well, I wouldn't say relaxed, but it reminded me how to relax, so I'm able to relax. I switched over from rag to like natural loofahs, and it's the perfect change. Like I feel more clean than I've ever felt. Aluminum free deodorant. And what else, man? Has anybody out there ever had an issue with your car, and then the people at the shop tell you like, yo, this can like put wear and tear on your car if you don't fix it like eventually, but you're just like, do I just want to get a new car, or do I want to just like, you know, just tater tottering until like one day your car has broken down? That hasn't happened yet, but if you're out there, pray for me that doesn't happen.
What kind of car you drive, dude?
A Jeep 2015 Cherokee. I won't say the color because I've gave too much information already.
Bro, I heard Jeeps, people who drive Jeeps, like, they always use, is it like, you said a Grand Cherokee?
Yes. No, not Grand. I ain't got that kind of one. Just Cherokee. It's not that Grand.
Yeah, I know people who, like, swear by their Jeeps, but at the same time, I always see them working on them, and something's always going wrong.
You know what's funny? It depends on the year. These newer Jeeps aren't as reliable as the older ones, but what I can say is if they did something wrong, they will take care of it. Like, I have, like, I mean, it's not brand new anymore, but the Jeep came out 2015, but I have a 2-year-old engine in it. They gave me a brand new engine when everything was messing up and stuff. So, and that was for free. So, it's not reliable sometimes, but a lot of stuff they take care of, unless it's like wear and tear that you put on a car yourself from not knowing things.
Word, dude. So usually I start off the podcast.
Shout out to Jeep, just in case you want to sponsor. I still love your cars. It's very comfortable. Great, smooth ride. Yeah.
No, big shout out to Jeep. And shout out all the Jeep people, too, because I know Jeep people have, like, their own, like, type of culture within, like, what they drive and everything. Like, I know a lot of people, like, be driving.
I feel
and,
so
like,
exalted right now.
Bro, like, even during Christmas and stuff, in especially in Jersey, more recently, like, in Jersey, there have been more pop-ups in towns of, like, Christmas lighting, like, parades, and, like, people will, like decorate their whole like Jeep and everything and shout out to one of my homies Julia, bro. She does that. She's been doing that every year for the past four years.
What's up with the Jeep, you know, unity? Nobody has ever like told me
about that. Bro, and they have like Jeep Gettys down south as well too, like South Jersey and everything.
But there's that must be for like the fancy like cool Jeeps, like the box ones and
bro
shit.
I'm sure if you show up, bro, it's like whatever, dude. Like it's all fam, it's all cool.
I'm definitely gonna pull up and I'm gonna be like Cherokee, it's not even grand, like
and you know what, even at like, you know, like I love going to the some car meets as well. And I drive an old Honda, like I not an old Honda Civic, I drive like a
the older the better with Honda though.
Yeah,
like anybody who is into Hondas appreciate the older Hondas way more than they appreciate any of the new fancy stuff.
Yeah, I have a 2011 Honda Civic Coupe, right? But I beat that shit up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
They're meant to be. They're meant to be beat up and revamped and stuff. Like, you know what's funny? I would never get a Honda for one reason, and this isn't Honda's fault, but my father and, like, brother and pretty much my whole family on my father's side were into, like, Honda cultures. Like, I'm talking about in 2008 driving a 97, like, super into the culture, souping up cars and whatnot, but, like, my whole entire life, I have seen broken down Hondas just sitting in driveways. Like something's always wrong with it, but it's like they just got the super old cars, but they loved it so much and was so into it that it's just, it's iconic, man. I really appreciate what Honda did for the culture of street racing.
For sure, dude. Yo, so I kind of want to switch topics here a little bit because I want to get to know you a little bit more and kind of like what I've been peeping with you. So originally you've been doing in this music game now for like what, 7 years, almost 8 years or more than that?
I would say professionally 4 years. Yeah, since 2018, I would say.
Word. And when did you graduate high school?
I graduated 2014.
Word, because I peeped that, like, so you're from Montclair, right?
Yes, sir.
Big shouts out to Montclair, bro. Because I saw you, like, filming your, like, some of your first YouTube videos out there for some of your songs. And it's dope, dude, because I feel like if I saw that, I feel like that might have been, especially if it's around 2014. Was that song, like, posted around 2014?
I had a couple of songs posted in 2014, but I was just, like, playing with it, trying to figure it out.
Word, because I know when that video came out, I was like, damn, if I saw this when I was, like, younger, bro, like, that shit's a little bit ahead of its time, because a lot of those videos kind of look like what videos look like today.
Yeah.
When people are just trying to come up. Yep. Like, the production value was really behind it.
We getting back to those kind of videos, too. I haven't done that in a minute. I did the conceptual, dope graphic effects and everything, but, like, I want to get back to my roots of just, like, hanging out and having fun, because people can feel that energy through the videos.
Word, for sure. And, you know, since this whole project that I'm doing right now is called June in Jersey, so I'm having artists, only people from Jersey, you know, come through and talk to me about Jersey. Do me a favor and explain to the people or describe Montclair to the people for us.
Montclair is like a very, very beautiful place. It's always tried to be politically correct. I mean, it's the perfect representation of America, I think. There's a lot of people from different races and cultures, all different kinds of foods. Great food town. But at the same time, there's like little, you know, subtle discrimination every once in a while. The school systems are good unless, I don't want to say unless you're black, because there's been successful black students there, but like they always try to, it seems like a funnel to getting all of the black students to be in remedial classes by the time they get to high school. So, and then in the remedial classes, they're not the same classrooms as the classrooms on the upper floors, like the basement is like always terrible. There was one time it smelled like there was a dead body down there.
Damn.
So like, it's like, it's good, but then there's bad things like that. They definitely redlined the community to an extent. I don't know if you know what redlining is.
No, what is redlining?
So redlining is like, what do they call it? Economic racism? No, not economic. Is it? No, because economic is money. What's like nature? And not what's nature. There's
trees?
A word that I'm thinking of right now. Not territorial.
Like, are they separate? Are you talking about like them separating like the lines of like who could vote and like?
No. Like, what's a good word for like an area or ecosystem?
I mean, I feel like you're saying all the words right now.
Damn, man. There's
my bad, dude.
That's what it is. Environmental racism.
Okay.
Environmental racism. So when they built these towns and cities and started putting things into play, they would have like a section that they would only allow black people to live in. It's not like you can't come to this side of town or anything like that, but it's like, yo, you're looking to buy a house in Montclair. There's a system that's going to like try to get you to just live in this one concentrated area. So when we go to that concentrated area, the houses aren't as nice as the rest of the town. The streets aren't as taken care of and whatnot. So it's like, and now they're only starting to take care of that side of town because there's a train station that comes right from New York, and they realize a lot of New Yorkers want to move to Montclair. Mm. But environmental racism. But it's a great place to be for all races. Like, when you're there and living, everything is fine. Just, you know, try to be on your Q's and P's and Q's.
For sure. You know what? I like Montclair, and especially I actually work for a guy, and well, it's one of my side gigs and stuff. I know there's a train station. There's two train stations that I'm thinking about, one or three, right? Mm-hmm. So I know there's the one in like next to Montclair State, right?
Yeah.
Then there's another one that's on Watchung Ave. Mm-hmm. And there's like a little like roundabout there with some good restaurants over there too.
Oh, wait, there might be four, because there's the one that's all the way uptown. I mean, no, there's the one before that that's uptown.
Yeah.
And then there's Bay Street, which is what they call South End.
Word. And you know what? Montclair's mad interesting because we've talked about it a couple of times on the podcast of what they're doing around there. Like, they just, what's called, renovated the, the theater that's out there.
Oh, Wellmont?
The Wellmont.
And the other, like, the actual theater you're talking about? Yeah. I forgot what the name of it was, but yeah, that it's beautiful in there. And there's this awesome little pastry shop in there. I might go back and get a cookie today. Like, it's everything they have there is good, though.
Word. So why don't we talk a little bit about the hip-hop industry and, like, trying to come up in Jersey? Because that's been, like, a big topic that I've been talking to with all the artists who come up here. And it's funny because you seem to be pretty well off comparative to a lot of other artists who are doing it. But I also think that is 100% due to how consistent you are. Because I didn't realize how much content you have actually put up and for how long. Like, 6 years is a long time to put up content, and I know you took a year off break from like watching some of your stuff, but we'll get to that. But consistency is key with all this stuff. But how do you feel the hip-hop scene looks right now in Jersey?
Honestly, it looks beautiful and better than it ever has. We still have things to learn as far as community, communication, commuting, and unity in general, but it's still greater than it's ever been. There's so many different stigmas of like, oh, Jersey artists don't work with each other, don't respect each other, but that's false. We're a lot more united. The only thing is, it's mostly like the Essex area that's united. I think due to me and Jay Wanda and artists like Blaze and whatnot, like, we're all respected by Newark, so we all work with a lot of artists in Newark. Now, Blaze is from East Orange, but I was trying to think of another location. But everybody around that area just rocks with each other. Gino 5, which I think he's from Bergen, though. I don't know. But we all rock with each other in that area. And it's starting to spread more and more and more, and you see us working with artists like Turkish Royale, who's, like, in Passaic, I think.
In Parsippany.
Parsippany, that's the... Yeah, that's the place. But we're well connected. Now, the only thing is, we're not building off of each other enough. We always wait until one person gets really, really far, and then everybody wants to build on or work with that one person, which is like, that's not going to build a scene the way that a scene should be built. And I feel like at one point, this show I did called Best of Essex was definitely contributing to the culture, and then the pandemic hit, and I still do plan on bringing it back. But it's like, that can't be the only way. It can't be a show that happens once a month that people just meet up at and whatnot. We need to be popping up in each other's videos. I would say popping up at each other's shows, but not everybody has the same amount of money and can just travel everywhere, so I get that. But we need to find a way to still be always surrounded by each other. Always just be part of everything. Yesterday, I ended up at a location for 300 Entertainment, the label. And although one of my friends couldn't make it, I made sure to bring Blaze out just so like people could see like, all right, at least like two artists is in there doing something. And somebody, you know what's funny though? When I did that, I was thinking like, yo, somebody might feel a way about this if I like, yo, why didn't you bring me or call me up? Because I'm tight with a lot of artists in Jersey. But it's like that also lets me know who I should be keeping around me, who I shouldn't. Because if you see me give somebody else an opportunity and you ask why not me, that kind of shows your motives and who you are. You know what I'm saying? And so far nobody has said that, which is proof again that the culture has changed. Like, people aren't jealous of each other anymore. People actually want the best for everybody. And it's beautiful. Of course, there's some jealous people out there because this is America. Mm. But it's just so much more tight-knit. But as I said, the next goal, my main goal right now is I want to have everybody be in each other's videos. I was going to try to put together a festival this summer and shoot 3 videos there and be like, look, we're all here. Who cares if it says this was all shot in the same day? We're building a culture. This New York isn't going to allow us to join their stuff, and we shouldn't ask for them to join their stuff anymore. It's kind of like how black people will be like, yo, you're upset at the Grammys, make our own Grammys. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to make our own way and stop asking for like having our hand out to these different places. Just try to make our own thing and capitalize off of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Odd Future started off from just a couple of teenagers who were just motivated to just do something, just sick of the way that everything was, and said, you know what, we're going to have fun and we're going to do this and we're going to just create our own culture. You know, you never thought about the fact that, like, in respect to Dr. Dre, but Dr. Dre never tried to sign Tyler, the Creator. Mm-hmm. And they're both is Tyler from LA? I know they're both from that area in Cali. And it's just like, that's because they created a different culture. They said, all right, so this is what LA culture is right now. Nah, that we need to show this side of things. I think we need to show the Jersey side of East Coast culture. Philly, we want you on too with Jersey. Like, I understand it's Pennsylvania, but like, let's keep it real. Other than Pittsburgh, I don't know too many different places in Pennsylvania that got like rappers that's really putting on like that. And maybe I just don't know. Forgive me if there is people putting on, but like, that's what the East Coast is. Jersey, Philly, Baltimore, the whole DMV area, we need to get this East Coast energy going. And for me, it starts with Essex, and I'm not just Essex. It starts with at least Northern Jersey, and I'm going to try my best to organize that and play my part. All I can ask is that all of you artists out there that's watching this from Jersey, play your part too. Try to organize some shit.
So you talk a lot about organization, and I think that it plays a huge part too, because what I've been talking to a lot of other artists is the lack of foundation in Jersey, the lack of resources, and it usually falls back down to money. But I think it also falls back down to who's leading the charge with these things. And for example, when I had Turkish Royale on, you know, I was telling him, I'm like, I think hip hop and all this other stuff is like dead in Jersey right now.
Dead? Really?
Yeah. I was telling
him. So is that from the perspective of a consumer? Do you think most consumers in New Jersey feel like that?
I'm not exactly sure, because it came from half a part of what I felt in my kind of area, like, because I'm from the Passaic area, right? So it came from my perspective of that area, and also my lack of education as well. Because
who's the hottest artist out of Passaic right now, rap wise?
To be honest, I don't even really know. I can name artists that I've seen like working with, you know, obviously
the ones that you seen working the hardest, then, even if they're not hot.
Winter Break. I had him. He's from Patterson.
Patterson is Passaic. Yeah. There's hella people in Patterson.
I know there's hella people coming out and like doing stuff right now, but like I said, I think
y'all got Fetty. Y'all got the most recent.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like I said, you talk about Fetty, and it's like, I'm not.
He already out of here. You're talking about underground.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about like, who's laying the foundation for everybody to come up and not only going for it like selfishly, you know?
Like,
who's
putting out? Do you feel like Fetty went for it selfishly?
Ooh, this is a very fucking interesting conversation.
A lot of people feel that way, but if you look at Fetty today, Monty is still by his side all the time. Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, I've never seen Fetty without Monty. I think Monty was the dude who really believed in him. and said, I'm going to stick by you no matter what. And that loyalty earned him that. So I could, there's this one person, I'm not going to say his name, who thought I was gatekeeping in Montclair. Like, Montclair got a crazy ass scene like that. Mm. And it's like, you think I'm gatekeeping. You've never tried to like really support everything that I did and try to earn your spot. You know what I'm saying? If you really think I'm going to be something one day, earn your spot. If you didn't think I was going to be something one day and then I end up being something, don't be mad that I didn't give you that opportunity. You didn't show me any kind of loyalty. You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure.
I feel like Fetty does an amazing job at giving back to artists, whether it be Patterson or anywhere. And I feel like Patterson has an amazing scene, but Patterson, from the outside looking in, does like organization. But yeah, put me on to every artist that you know from there, and I'm going to try to connect.
No, for sure, for sure. And I think this is the whole point of what I've been wanting to do with the podcast, especially June in Jersey. So talk to as many people as I can.
You said Winterfest, isn't it?
Winter Break. Yeah, he's like an R&B type like singer. He also raps a little bit too.
But that's not... Mm. All right. Respect to Winter Break. I haven't even heard your music yet. Going to check you out. And shout out to all of the R&B artists out here doing their thing. But I mean like... I don't mean like a... When I say rapper, I don't mean like a 90s, like grimy. Mm-hmm. Like, you ain't got to be like that. But like Turkish Royale, since we mentioned him before, or Jay Wonder, artists who know how to add melodic hooks and whatnot and make something catchy, but like can really, really rap. That's what I'm saying. Like, who's doing that in Patterson right now? Also, if you're watching this and you are that person or know that person, reach out to me. I would love to support and work.
I don't necessarily know too many like rappers, right? Mm-hmm. But kind of bringing, I don't want to get too far away from the Fetty Wap conversation, mm-hmm. though. I don't think Fetty Wap is necessarily selfish. And you know what? I haven't done enough research into what he's done exactly, because I see that he signs artists. He has his own label. But at the same time, like, I also have been listening to his music and listening to the production of like the last couple years and why other stuff hasn't like been like hasn't popped up of stuff that he was doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a mixture just from the outside and what I've learned so far about business and marketing. To me, it's just like not surrounding yourself with the right people, getting caught up in bullshit again, and then also cherry picking the artists that you feel are gonna like, you know, pave the way for certain people, you know, and cherry picking.
Is cherry picking wrong?
Depending on, Fetty is at a level where you can cherry pick, you know, that's where he's grown his brand to, that's where he is as an artist, and that's where he is as a business entrepreneur.
I just don't understand words like cherry picking, because he's going to reach out to whoever he deems suitable. And if somebody doesn't agree with that, that's not really their business. It's more like all right, put yourself in a position. It's back to the Grammys conversation. People get mad at the Grammys every year. Have all of you really tried to join the community so you can vote for these albums? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going to sit here and be mad at other people's choices?
Maybe cherry pick is the wrong word to use, because cherry pick kind of like, kind of has like a negative connotation to it. I think it's more of let me give the example that I've given a couple podcasts before. I think more recently I've been giving this example. It's like sports. You know, are you into soccer at all?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Basketball?
I'm not into sports.
Oh, not into sports at all. Okay, cool.
No matter how much I'm wearing these basketball shorts.
It's all good. It's all good. So basically with sports, you know, in general, when you're little, right, you go into elementary school and everybody's trying every fucking sport in the world, right? Yeah. Then you go to middle school and you kind of start getting what sports you like most, so you start trying those out, right? Mm-hmm. You get to high school and all of a sudden, like, you get to choose whether you're going to keep pursuing that sport, and they have JV and then varsity. And the varsity guys are usually the ones who go into college. And then if you get accepted to a college, you know, you're going through this whole system. And in college, you know, every tier that you're going through, more and more get knocked out through this filter, right? Then you get from college, you're going into major league, right? So once you get into major league, now that's the best of the best, you know, and how many people drop from college and don't get to the best of the best, right? And it's like where Fetty is, he's kind of already at the best of the best, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he's just picking from what's coming at him.
Is he?
Right. I think
I think we're over. Of course, he's had much success, but I feel like we're over. We're over estimating how much he can do. Like, he is extremely successful, one of the most successful Jersey artists. Right. But he's the most successful Jersey artist. How much can we really, really, really do?
Well, that's
he
what
got,
I'm saying.
He got money, and he got power in Jersey, and he got power a couple of places. Like, he's a genius. But I don't think, like, he's the person that we should be pointing the finger at. Like,
nah.
You should have done this, or you can do this. Why aren't you doing that? I feel like you've been for the culture, man.
I think it sucks because it's really nobody's job, and it can't really fall on anybody. You know,
but it always falls on the big dog.
But exactly, you know. At the same time, it's like that whole foundation that needs to be there, that whole system that I just told you, you know, it's kind of, I'm trying to kind of compare it to like what artists in Jersey have the opportunity to do today. There's no real opportunity if it's not DIY. Mm. There's no system in place. How many places in Jersey can you perform as a hip hop artist if you're not setting up your own show? How many places have already existed in the past? You know what I mean? Who's running this shit right now? If you weren't doing what you were doing, who would be doing it?
Mm. All right, I definitely get your point there.
And like, for example, Turkish Royale, you know, he was the first person I met and like who I was talking to. And he's like, yeah, we're doing these DIY shows. He's like, I run Mad Minds. I do this. And I'm getting 350 people out at a show. Mm.
You know, it's funny. I think he's past DIY, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think he may not be pulling up in a Benz or nothing, but he in his own way is a mogul. He's created a brand that's recognizable that people really associate greatness with. And I was telling him last time I talked to him, he needs to figure out ways to capitalize off of that, bigger headliners, shortening the open mic and whatnot. And when he does these things, some people are going to judge him. Some people are going to say he's changed and whatnot. But it's about the progression of obtaining power. Like, if I have 100 apples and 10 people like, yo, can I have like 2 apples? That's 20 apples gone. And now I only got 80 apples. But what if that's, let's say I was making more apples off of those seeds from those apples and could only make a few. That would eventually tear apart my business, no matter how far I got. Now, if I had 1 million apples and 20 people said like, yo, give me two apples. It's like, all right, now I have more room to give y'all these and keep my business up afloat and give more opportunities. Now y'all gonna grow your own seeds from these two apples that I gave each you. Like, the math doesn't make perfect sense, but you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. It's just tough because sometimes I'm still perplexed by how Turkish Royale, like, you know, gets his shit rocking. And I'm perplexed on how exactly he's become that successful, because with that same thing, you think like, hey, you know, like, I only have a certain amount of money, right? Mm. I only have a certain amount of like time to dedicate to this. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what happens if the apples just keep on coming in? And as you start putting out and putting faith on ones that you're giving out, and then somehow it comes back like twofold, you know?
That happens sometimes, but you can't always risk that.
You can't.
What I'm saying is,
I feel like Turk is, though.
It's good to risk that and good to give away your apples as much as possible morally, right? But you should not expect somebody to give away the apples, or when they don't give away the apples, this is a funny ass analogy, when they don't give away the apples, to shame them and judge them for that and say, how could you do that? Like, as amazing as we're talking about Turk, there's still people who get pissed at him, and who think he's not for the culture, and who think that he's trying to one up on everybody, and who think that he's doing things wrong. No matter how righteous this man is, there are still people who say that.
Word. You know, it's funny. I would love to have those people on to talk. Like I said, I'm kind of in my own journey right now, trying to figure out and talk to as many people about the Jersey culture, how we can get it popping, how we can all work together.
Yeah.
You know, and I think collaboration is the biggest key. And it's crazy because when I was searching you up and kind of looking you up, and it's crazy, I don't even go through too many like artists, like Instagram, and like, you know, researched them too much. I was watching a lot of your videos, but as soon as you came in, you were kind of telling me like, you know, I've been a couple podcasts before, and I was like, you know what, I think if you've been on a couple podcasts before, I don't really want to know about your origins and your beginnings. You know, if this is what you're doing right now, fuck it, let's talk about it, you know.
Word.
And like I said, this whole journey and this whole process of like learning what we can do, because like I said, I think it comes from setting a foundational standpoint, getting these leaders from different communities to pop up with shows in their own place, find their group of artists who are popping off there, and then bringing them to a bigger stage. And it's almost like, it's not necessarily like tiers where everybody's accepted, but it's about bringing these different separate communities together, you know? And I think that's something that could have been done as a bigger name. And is it necessarily Sveti's fault for not doing it? No, because like, maybe he just didn't want to do it. And then like, for example, if an artist is going to come over there to him that's like talented as shit, and it's like, yo, I have my own shit, I have my own studio, why not sign you? And that's kind of what I mean by like cherry picking, you know?
But, I mean, what happened to being just like, just being a good person? and like being like, yo, I support this because it's dope. While artists are starting to become opportunistic, like, yo, I support this because I think you'll support me. I support this because it's a good look for me. I get to get this photo op. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is really schemey and opportunistic. And it's like, I get it, you know, have some finesse and make yourself look as good as you possibly can look, because that's, you know, key to your branding. But integrity is dwindling, it feels like. I can tell, though. I think anybody who's genuine can tell, like, when somebody's just being used, or if somebody's like, yo, this is genuine support. You know what I'm saying? But let's talk. Of course, we're here to talk about Jersey culture. Mm-hmm. But like, let's talk about the artists that are great out there.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Blaze the Rebel, incredible, incredible artist. Just dropped this album called Sanford. Shout out to Jay Wonder, who just dropped this album called Masad. Shout out to the greatest rapper without an album out right now, Solis.
I've heard about Solis. I haven't.
Solis
listened to
is that guy, yo. Like, nobody want war with Solis, man. Like. Like, and that's no disrespect to the other names and the other names that I'm about to mention. But it's just like, that dude is just, I don't know, man. I don't know. He smokes cigars. I feel like maybe I should start smoking more cigars. I'm just like, he spit this verse the other day in the studio that I was just like, I was analyzing what he did and just thought like, I still asked him to send me that shit so I want to write over that beat and try to do something better than him. And it's not like, oh, I want to shit on my mans or nothing like that. I'm not even going to be on a song. I'm not even going to release it. But it's just like, you motivated me. You know what I'm saying? Where is that at? Where is seeing somebody do something great and achieve greatness and being like, bruh, I want to be in that position too. How did you do it? Teach me your ways. I'm going to work my ass off to get where you at. You know what I'm saying? But also shout out to Mind Off Stage, the most amazing singer without an album out. He has an EP out, though. That's called Unlock the Gym. Pretty good. Idmatic, yo, where's your album, dog? There's so many different dope artists, yo. Not even just to mention, I mentioned all dudes. Shout out to Frequency, shout out to Bi-Mads, Pineapple City, incredible. Like, I'm always gonna put on for y'all, man. I know I'm forgetting artists. Shout out to Chris Patrick, Babyface, Geno 5, Steven Xavier, Mix Williams, Turkish Royale, A Progress, See, my Grammy speech gonna be long.
For sure, bro. Hell yeah, bro. Holy shit. And these are all artists from Jersey that you're naming right now.
Yes, yes.
Oh, shit.
And so the list goes on.
So what towns do you feel like from Jersey right now are like popping off with the most artists?
Towns?
Or cities, whatever.
I'm gonna have to go with counties.
Word, word, word.
Now, this is gonna be controversial and some people are gonna hate me for this.
It's all good, bro.
But I say this in a way hoping you look at me how I look at Solis. I feel like Essex County got it right now. But you got to remember that Essex County has Newark. Newark is filled to the brim with all kinds of talent.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that a lot recently, too.
Yeah.
Educating myself on that. Mm. I had this girl here before. Her name is Margie PV.
Margie, yo, I love Margie. She's incredible.
Yeah, Margie's great, dude. She's great. And yeah. It's funny how I feel like all these links to all these different artists and people are so small and we just don't realize it yet. Mm. You know what I mean? The networking is like, somebody always knows somebody. And I knew Margie because my sister did Peruvian African festejo dancing.
Yeah. Oh, she be killing that.
Yeah. And my sister did that with her and they did a competition together.
Did they win? They should have won.
I don't even recall
like if she posted the video, but I'm so Margie that I'm just like, she won. To us.
Yeah, no, Margie's lit. And, you know, I was talking to her and she was talking to me how, like, before the pandemic, the Newark scene was, like, popping off. Mm. And that they were having, like, great get-togethers, a lot of open mics, stuff that she was hosting, stuff that she was trying to get together. Then COVID hit and everything kind of died down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And COVID hit at the music industry, performing industry, like, everybody hard. Mm. But now it's, like, weird because I feel like there's a fire now, like, more recently.
People can't wait to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And, yeah, and you talked a little bit about the Newark scene, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Newark is, to me, the greatest town of hip-hop ever. And I get it, yeah, Brooklyn and Queens and all of New York, as far as the, you know, the boroughs go, incredible. But, like, the once-in-a-lifetime stars that came out of Jersey and the amount of inspiration that came from Jersey, too. Like, people forget, Kanye was living in Newark before he blew up. Just Blaze was in Newark before he blew up. Reasonable Doubt, songs off there was recorded in Newark, Eminem got his flow that he used on a Slim Shady LP to the Marshall Mathers LP from the Outsiders, which are from, I believe, Newark. It's so much culture there, man. It's undeniable. And then we got, I think Lauryn Hill is from, was Lauryn Hill from Newark or East Orange?
I think she's from East Orange.
Well, for the sake of argument.
Newark.
Redman. Queen Latifah. Like, the amount of culture that has came from the hip-hop culture, you know? Joe Budden, no, he's from Jersey City. I'm tripping. But, like, still, like, it's just, you can't even... And you can't even come up in Jersey without Newark. I feel like that's fair to say. I feel like as far as my presence in Jersey, my fans in Montclair is equal or less than to Newark. It's just, I love Newark, yo.
So when you were first on the come up, did you, because you seem like a fucking bucket full of knowledge, and I respect the fuck out of it.
I appreciate that.
How did you get to this point? Because, like, for example, I love this because I'm a little bit hard to keep up with you right now, but it's because I'm absorbing a lot of shit from you.
Gotcha.
I don't think anybody else talks like you right now. There's nobody else who I've talked to on the podcast so far that is this knowledgeable about everything that's going on in Jersey, the history of Jersey.
I'm out of the loop. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah?
Yeah, to be honest, but I'm always eager to learn more.
I feel like these are basics, though. Like, you're talking about a lot of basics, and even I'm rusty on basics, you know? And I feel like when I talk to a lot of the people around me...
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Just had, like, a That's So Raven moment. Shout out to Mayor Fontaine and everybody else that's killing it in South Jersey. I know that I don't mention a lot of artists from there. I'm very uncultured and would like to know more artists from there. I've been out there, and I've heard the talkings of how... South Jersey is treated like North Jersey is treating South Jersey how New York treats Jersey as a whole. That's what I've heard. I didn't believe it to be true because of my stances and who I am, but also for any artist that's out there in South Jersey, I'm trying to connect and learn more and work with y'all too. Shout out to Gotti 800. He's my guy. He's one of those people where it's like one little interaction of working with him and I've learned so much. Like, so yeah, connect more. You can't lose.
Yeah, I think I talked about collaboration crazy a lot throughout these podcasts because I don't think there's any other way to do it, you know? And you might not agree with some people. You might not fuck with other people's flows. But at the end of the day, you might know somebody who might need something like, how can I say? Really just the basic neck wording of it, you know what I mean? Like, even after this, you know, if we finish this podcast and for some reason you're like, damn, I don't fuck with Beto at all, right? And I'm like, damn. And he's like, oh, but he does, you know, he runs a podcast. So, and then somebody else is like, yo, I'm trying to get my mind out on podcasts. Be like, I bet, you know,
yeah,
you get up my
man.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
I think one thing I was trying to get to before, how did you get started on this journey of just learning everything? Because I feel like there's really two ways you could go about it. And I think like the way that you're going about it is very rare. And I don't think I've seen it so much even like, I don't know if this existed, what we're talking about and what you're doing existed like 6 or 8 years ago, you know? And I think it's really just started more of a momentum like recently because like all the other artists that you see who are popping off, like they, or even the people who are doing it, I see their Instagram accounts or I see their music and it's only been like the last 4 years, 5 years they've really been releasing shit. And I feel like what a lot of other artists do in Jersey, once they do something or like they find a good connect or whatever, is that they end up leaving to other places that they could give them more opportunity. They don't stay here in Jersey. So they're off to New York, they're off to either Philly, California, Florida, whatever.
I mean, I feel like I can do that and still be connected with Jersey, though. I still can peep the scene. Most things are based online anyhow. I still can continue to show love to Jersey no matter where I'm at. But truth be told, when it comes to just learning, because that sounded like the first part of your question, I was always a, yo, you're not going to help me? Fine, I'll do it myself kind of person. So I started off making beats. My beats were ass, so nobody would rap on them. But I was like, if nobody's going to rap on these ass beats, then I'm going to rap on these ass beats. And then... when I was rapping on the ass beats, I'm like, yo, how do you get in contact with an engineer as a teenager? And it was like getting in contact with engineers and it's like, oh, you charge that much? All right, let me see how much I got. Oh, yeah, I got no job. So then I was like, fuck it, I got to learn how to engineer. And then after learning how to engineer, I'm like, damn, like I want to sign to a label so I can release my music. Oh, there's ways to release your music through distributors such as TuneCore, DistroKid, CD Baby, and Sparta. And I was like, okay, cool. Let me release through there. Now I know how to do that. Okay, how do I get a publicist? A publicist costs what? Shit. Okay, let me just start reaching out to people and building relationships or whatnot. And the funny thing is, the building relationships part never stops in your career. The more that you're there in people's faces, just talking to people about yourself, not in like a cocky or egotistical way, but just like, hi, I'm Samad. I do this, this, and this. What do you do? Making conversations and really building relationships. That's the most contributing factor to my career.
And how do you feel?
Other than God, of course.
No, yeah, of course. You a religious guy?
I would say so, but not like religious like the Supreme Court.
Shit.
But I believe in I'm Muslim, and there's a verse in there that says something like, my religion for me and your religion for you. So I feel like I'm misquoting that. Sorry, God, if I did. But it's pretty much saying what I do for me and what I do religiously for me is for me. I believe everybody should have the freedom to do whatever they want. That is our human right. So I do believe in pro-choice. I believe in the LGBT community should not be penalized for their beliefs or how they choose to live their lives, or anybody, as long as they're not harming anybody else or imposing their beliefs on anybody else. It should be a free for all to do whatever you want.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually been getting into like the Muslim religion more recently. Mm. I dated this Muslim girl like 4 years ago. Mm. I never understood because some of her family's values, like they didn't fuck with me just because I wasn't Muslim. Mm. And like they didn't want me to marry into the family. I mean, not that we were young, you know what I mean? But
you know, it's funny. It wasn't let me rephrase. There are a lot of predominantly Muslim populated countries that are racist or just don't really rock with anybody who's not in their own race. That is a stigma there. That is a problem. We need to fix that because that's not what our religion is about at all. But there is ruling on Muslim women not being able to marry men outside of their outside of their religion. And it's based on really like the future of the children, because it's like, yo, if I'm a parent, I would like my grandchild to be the same religion as me if I believe that's the true, real way to heaven. You know what I'm saying? So if my daughter marries that and she marries a man and the man is supposed to be the leader of the household, then the kids are 9 times out of 10 going to follow the religion of the father.
Burn.
And of course, I feel like kids, not specifically kids, but I should say by the time a kid is like 10 years old, he should start learning about other religions and figuring out things for himself and know what he want to do. Nobody should be forced to be in a religion. But I think that was probably their fear with that. So I wouldn't take it personal if I were you. It would be anybody who's not Muslim.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nah, like I think throughout like, you know, time, I actually it's funny. Me and Turk were really talking about like, you know, spirituality and religion. And I think it was the first week of this podcast. I actually had my therapist on the podcast. And he's actually a priest as well.
Huh.
And we had this whole conversation about, like, you know, spirituality.
I gotta watch that episode.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. And it's like, for me, my parents grew up, Catholic or Christian or whatever. I know they're very different or whatever. But yeah, like, you know, we believed in Jesus and, like, you know, the whole, like, you know, story of the Bible, whatever. Yeah. And as time went on, like, I just realized, like, I believed a lot less in just the one form of, like, religion, and that I kind of respected all religions because I saw them all kind of similar in the sense of, like, I don't believe in... It's not that I don't believe in God. It's kind of like I believe in the universe, but it's like the universe is God. Mm. So we believe in the same thing. We're just calling it separate stuff. And at the end of the day, when we move on to our next life...
I feel like we believe in different things, and that's okay. It's okay. Not everything has to be merged or one view. I feel like people like try to change the mind of how they feel about something in order to make themselves comfortable or make people around them comfortable.
Okay.
But it's like, no, we have completely different views, and that is okay. We're allowed to. Nobody should be trying to say like, yo, you're wrong, or I'm right, or I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we should just accept that. Like, I mean, and you can believe that what other people call God is the universe, but I personally don't believe that. I believe that, like, God runs the universe and has created the universe and created everything and is beyond that. But, like, I'm not going to say, hey, you're wrong for that. It's just like, oh, no, that's your beliefs and this is mine. Word. Your religion for you, my religion for me.
I respect that. No, I can respect the shit out of that, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So do you ever see your religion playing any part in your music?
For sure, man. Honestly, I can't even, like, say certain things without it playing with my conscience. Like, dang, like, if God read this back to me on the Day of Judgment, how would I feel about that? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it definitely plays a part. I always try to not do or say anything that I'll regret doing or saying. And with time, it gets better and better for me with music. With Duo Liddy, the most recent album I did, I don't even regret a song off of there. Even the one song that I did kind of, like, go overboard with the cursing and stuff, like, I felt like I did that to release some steam so I didn't try to harm anybody in real life, you know? So it was therapeutic for me.
Where do you feel, is there ever, like, I don't, see, it's hard as an artist because it's, like, if you're trying to, like, if you're true to your religion and everything, you don't want to do, like, anything, like, you know, like, anything haram, right?
Mm. Pronounce that really well, better than I could.
Thank you, dude. I like studying other languages too. Like I said, I was like with Turkish.
You know, right? A little Turkish.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I know a little bit. I try to impress. You know what I mean? I try to. But yeah, it's weird because sometimes your expression of art, you know, could be taken in so many ways. And sometimes I think, like, the most visceral forms of art, like cursing, for example, it gives the listener an easier way to consume what you're trying to say, right?
Mm.
Like, for example, like, you could be as descriptive as hell and, like, you know, give these crazy words that will, like, you know, when people read it, they'll be like, oh, I really could feel his pain. Mm. But there's something about just, like, screaming, like, ah, oh, fuck, you know what I mean? It's like, damn, it's there. Do you ever feel like you ever crossed the line with that?
I feel like cursing is about intention. Like, I feel like the word curse is not even a good word for curses. I feel like I like using the word swear more because it's like we're not trying to place a curse upon anybody. And, like, sometimes it's just communication and language. Like, if I walk down the street and, like, go to my cousins and I'm like, what's up, you ugly motherfucker?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not going to be like, they're not going to be like, you just disrespected me and my looks and called me a motherfucker. It's like, no, we're just communicating how we communicate and it's all love in there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't look at cursing as like a bad thing or something that nobody should do. But I do think about how other people listen to music and whatnot. So I do try to curse less.
Sure.
In fact, I don't have a clean version of my last album out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really plan on doing clean versions anymore because, like, I just plan on not cleaning myself up, but just cursing when it's only needed.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, with intention. Yeah, I definitely get that. I definitely get that. So talk to me a little bit about you venturing into this realm of trying to get signed now. Is that your goal, trying to get signed now? Or it seems like it's definitely more of a...
My goal is success.
Okay. So that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So what does success mean for you?
Success for me is to be able to make my music and live freely enough to create and give to the world and have my my music be appreciated. Now, I can do that independently, but I can also do that with a label. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not opposed to labels. I'm not opposed to doing things independently, but I've done it independently for, like, on a serious note for, like, four or five years now. Like, and if this is, like, where I'm at with it and having to, like, consistently keep up and da-da-da, I would like to see what a label's like. Why not try it out?
So you don't necessarily know, like, the benefits, the pros and cons of what a label could give you? Or do
I do
you?
Know the pros and cons, it also depends on each label. It's a very vague thing. A lot of artists will get on podcasts and be like, no, all labels and all contracts are like this. Like, no, it's kind of what you make it and what you agree upon.
Because what I see labels as more is, like, kind of like almost like a bank. You know, I mean, they do have resources. They do have connections.
I was just talking about this with somebody at 300. The difference between a label and a bank is that a bank will be like, here's this money. Pay me back my money. No matter how we agree upon it, whether it's monthly, here's this money. Pay me back my money. While a label, if they give you an advance, it's like, here's this money. Pay me back my money. Also, I'm going to help you get that money to pay me back. If it doesn't work out, okay, you still owe me that money, but it's like, we're trying to figure this out together. I want my money back too. Let's figure this shit out. not like a bank where it's just like, oh, I don't care what's going on in your life. I have a million other people that got this loan from me. You give me your money or I'm going to start taking your shit. No, like banks are more like bullies. Yeah. While laborers are just like, let's try to figure some shit out. Like, I don't want to waste my money either.
Because I'm trying to think too, like, so what separates them more than, like, you know, just banks and, like, you know, how they work, their, like, you know, share system there is also, like, the connections, right? Do you feel like, I don't know, I guess I'm kind of just petty. I'm a little bit Latino in that sense, like, very typical Latino, you know what I mean? Like, why is someone to, like, you know, hire somebody to, like, cut your yard when I do it every fucking week myself, you know? Like, that's what, that's on their mind,
but,
you know?
But you're forgetting the fact of this, two things. The reason that I was thinking about a label is because funding in relationships. There are relationships that you cannot obtain without being part of a label. Fun fact. I tried to reach out to Tom Holland for that song that I did, Black Tom Holland. And I just wanted to show him my song. I didn't want anything from him. So I called his agency. Said I was looking for him. And then tried calling again from a different number and a different voice and saying, hey, I have this opportunity from him. How do we send it in? And, da, da, da. And they, on both sides, no matter what, they said, we're not accepting anything. We're not allowing you to get through. You have to, that's not how you find him. But nobody would give me the answer on how you do it. And I believe there's certain just gatekeeping. And it's like, a label can't fix that. That was just a small example. But, like, how do I get in touch with such and such from, I don't know, I'm just looking around at different things. Is that a Canon camera? Let's just say I'm like, yo, I want to put a Canon camera in my video, have somebody take a picture with Canon. Sometimes just reaching out to Canon marketing doesn't work to get you that sponsorship. It's got to be like somebody who knows somebody, or they're like, oh, nah, we don't recognize this label. Perfect example. I was trying to figure out how to do sync licensing as far as just reaching out to companies and submitting their songs. They're like, oh, no, we only work with this syncing company and this syncing company to get music. And then I reach out to the sync companies. How do I join? And they're just like, oh, like, it's a hurdle for every single thing. I'll put it that way. It's extremely annoying, especially because I said I'm the kind of like, yo, if you want to help me, I'll do it myself kind of the person. And you can't do that with some things. You just can't. They just, like, literally are like, no, you can't do this. And then they won't tell you the way how to do it. So it's not like I feel defeated or anything like that. But if there's a way that I can make that a little bit more easy for me and then get into the industry at least so I can build these relationships after or during me being with a label and then be able to utilize them after I leave a label, it's not easy.
No, yeah, for sure. And I think it makes a lot of sense in your position as well, since you have a very well-built discography behind you as well, you know, and you have stuff that, like, even your YouTube videos, dude, like, you've been doing, like, high production shit for, like, a minute now, and it's very, very surprising. I'm like, you know, like, I'm not the type of person, like, you know, who, like, cares about numbers when I consume somebody's content, but I'm also a business person, also think about marketing, and I also think about, like, okay, let's look at the analytics, and, like, some of the analytics on your videos confuse the fuck out of me, and I'm sure they do to you, too. It must be very fucking frustrating, you know, because some of these videos, and I see, like, even more recently, like, for example, what was it called? Fuck, I'm sorry if I'm butchering the name of it. The most recent stuff I think you posted number 6 most recently on your YouTube. The series I just want to rap. I just want to rap series, right? The last two were like a minute long, right? Comparative to the one that you did, the Kanye West one.
Yeah,
that one was long.
Yeah,
but it was fire.
Yeah,
and I was just like, damn. I was like, this man keep going and going and going. Mm-hmm. And did you switch to, like, shorter, like, you know,
kind of content? No, see, the funny thing is that the series was initially just supposed to be a 1 minute thing every time. Mm-hmm. It's just 1 minute, just me just rapping, not really thinking about too much. The reason that number 4 was such a big production, it was because I wanted to really give Kanye his flowers. I get it. We may have political differences or differences in general, but as far as the work that he's done for me, it's just, like, undeniable, and I wanted to give him his flowers. And I also at that time didn't do a I Just Want to Rap in a While. So it was kind of to make up for like the lost time. So if I ever like don't drop it, I just want to rap in a really long time. It's like either I'm working on an album or I'm trying to like really do a really big one because I didn't do one in a while.
No, for sure. What I was also bringing up before I brought that up too was like, you know, the analytics of your content. How do you then approach, because you have some videos that have blown up. Like, I think like 300K plus. Like,
thank
you
know, God.
And then also, but then like the next couple of videos, you know, you have things that are like 1K, 2K, but the production is fucking there.
Mm-hmm.
So do you, where do you feel like, you know, went wrong with that, quote unquote?
I don't think anything goes wrong. I think that everything that happens, happens for a reason, and everything that is meant for me will get to me. Everything that is not will miss me. So whenever something I do and work really hard on fails, I think about it like this. In the long run, what I have felt about this song, like, yo, if this blew me up and this is what people expected from me every single time, would I be happy with that? Most of the time, the answer is no. So, like, I'm okay with not making it. Maybe there's more things for me to learn. And I don't want to say not making it because I'm doing great, thank God. But, like, there's always more to learn in every failure. So I'm not upset at that. I'm like, oh, what did I do different this time? Okay, what did I do here? What did I have going on at this time? And learn and apply.
Word, for sure. Can you talk to me about your year hiatus that you took on? Because I don't know too much about that.
Honestly, I was told that, like, somebody was like, yo, I felt like you didn't let the last project, like, linger a little bit. Like, it feels like you're coming out with a new project and you just came out with another one. And I didn't get to digest the last one fully. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. So I knew I was going to take more time. But then I was like, all right. There's some things that I would like to change about my first two projects. And it's because I was like, I just want to put it out now. What happens if I just sit on it and just wait? And then the results of that was Dua Litty. So I never took a hiatus. I just didn't drop real songs. A lot of it was throwaway stuff and filler stuff just to be like, all right, hey, still here, guys. Don't forget about me. But like, and it's crazy that artists have to do that. I could make a song that could change somebody's life, and they won't check to see if I drop new music within a year's time. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, dude. Bro, like, that hit me. That hit deep in my soul. Dude, the struggle of an artist sometimes is, like, it's fucked, but it's also, like, man, like, I don't even know what to do but to laugh. I'd be like, damn, yeah, that's so fucking true.
Because yeah,
you think about, like, the why. You know what I mean? Have you, like, figured that out, you know, yet?
I know. I try to be what I want. So I'm a loyal fan. No matter how bad an album is, I will buy it if that artist at one point helped me get through a tough time. For example, Lupe Fiasco. I love all of his albums except Droga's Light. That's the only one that I was like, not really a fan of this one. And it was kind of like a FU to his label, so I understood in retrospect. But at the time, I'm just like, I'm still going to buy it, though, because, like, you really helped me become the person that I am today. Eminem. I don't feel like Revival was really, like, the worst album of all time, like a lot of people make it seem to be. But it wasn't his best work, but I still bought that album because I'm like, man, you changed my life. You made me feel like I wasn't alone in what I was going through. There's some artists that I just do that with, and I hope that some people feel like that with me. When I'm not, when shit hits the fan, I hope people are still a fan. When I'm not the best me, when I'm going through things, if there's a controversy that's going on with me, for the times that I did make music that you enjoyed and love, will you stick with me? Will you still try to support me through what I'm going through? You know, so that's the kind of fans that I would like. I'll take 100 down-to-earth real fans that'll buy the album every time over 1,000 fake ones.
I feel that. I think that's what every artist should strive for sure. You know, I feel the same way. How do you feel about constructing your image? Because I feel like at this point, you know, and where you are in your career, and especially when you go to a label, I feel like a lot of people are going to talk about image. And there's a lot of people I've had on the podcast before talk about how important that is to certain artists that they are working for, especially the ones who are huge in the industry. How do you feel about that?
It depends on a day. When you say image, do you mean like a public image?
Yeah, how you're perceived by your fans, okay, and your Instagram.
So image is important, right? But it's about balance. I want to show my fans the other side of the industry. Like, nah, I'm not going to be like the most drippiest guy in the world every single day Sometimes I just want to chill out, and you should feel that way too. You shouldn't feel pressured to look insanely amazing every time you step outside. Do that at events, do that at shows, do that for music videos if you're an artist, but don't feel pressure to do anything for anybody else. Live comfortably, be yourself, and maybe when I do get with a label and whatnot, they're going to be like, ah, you can't really do that because this and that, and you got to maintain it and stuff. But like, no matter what I do in life, y'all, for future reference, just listen to my words, listen to what I say. Don't always live by my example, because I'm just a human trying to be a good person, trying to get it right every day like you are. I'm not going to always have it right, but I will always try my best to say the right things.
I feel that. You know, I think this kind of is a good segue to, and I'm really interested to hear your thoughts, because your mind works a lot differently than a lot of other people I've talked to so far. So how are your feelings about cancel culture?
Okay, I feel like it's a myth. I feel like cancel culture is a myth. There's like some people who are just like, you're canceled and da da da, and it's just like, no, you just chose not to support that person. That doesn't mean that the rest of the world is going to not support that person. Now, then there's that, and then there's people who are held accountable. I feel like accountability is what we now call cancel culture. So like, for example, R. Kelly was touching kids and had sex rings and was a monster. But then like people are like, nah, but his songs are still good and da da da. But it's like, nah, you got to hold him accountable. Why would you support a pedophile? You know what I'm saying? I mean, name a person that was unrightfully canceled. And when I say canceled, I mean really canceled. Like, can't book a show, can't do anything.
Unless legal stuff happened to him, I don't think really I can name anybody.
It's not real. Mm-hmm. It's not real. They said that Kevin Hart was canceled because of the tweets that he made with homophobic slurs. But it's like, that dude is still thriving. He's still doing okay. And the funny thing is, all he decided to do, maybe his publicist decided to do it, or his PR team decided, let's just get out of the limelight for a little bit. Let things cool down. He came right back, still got all of his networks. Everything is beautiful. And it's like, that man is rich, rich. And it's because I think it's a sense of people wanting to have power, to have a say. If you want power and want to have a say, vote. Vote all the time. Not just for the president. Vote when there's I forgot the name of the middle elections or whatnot, but vote for the House of Representatives and all of that. Because if you don't, then things like what's happening outside right now will happen.
I feel that. And I think it's great that you brought the Kevin Hart topic up, because I actually watched his documentary behind the scenes of everything that was happening in that time.
I meant to see that.
And it's weird because, you know, I think also cancel culture is like a myth. I feel the exact same way. I think it's bullshit. And I think unless something legally happens to you, nothing's going to stop you from making a comeback. And there's a whole bunch of people who I can name who've got canceled who are doing just fine or just as successful. And even if they're not successful, they're still able to live a life similar to the one they were living before.
Yep.
And I'm a big YouTube person. So, you know, when you're talking about that stuff, you're talking about like Shane Dawson, James Charles. James Charles is doing great. He was sending dick pics to 16-year-old boys and receiving child pornography.
Yep.
He's doing great.
Although, I don't want to like make an argument for that, because that's disgusting and wrong. But from what I remember, he didn't know the guy's actual age. And also at the time, wasn't he like 18?
That was the first one. It happened two other times after. It happened three times in total. That's
I mean, I'm not his market.
I know.
His market, so like it's not my business. But like, you know, like if y'all supporting that and that's like the whole story.
That's what I'm saying. Like it happened the first time and everybody's like, and he gave the big ass apology.
Yeah.
Then he caught up with it again. And then he got caught up with it a third time.
That is a horny young man.
I was just like, damn. I was like, you know, and like no legal repercussions came to him. And people were like, yeah, I'm not gonna fuck with them anymore. But he has such a huge fan base and a young fan base too, that just kind of forgets, you know. And it's like, fuck, you know, like
who's stop him? If he is like, if that's who he is, it will catch up to him. The older he gets, the more pervier that shit's gonna look, and it'll catch up to him. But with Shane Dawson, that's a little bit different.
Shane Dawson was a little bit different because he was called out for like fucking cats, and because he said it in a podcast and he said it as a joke. But he also has like a really
A twisted sense of humor.
Yeah, he has.
But I think he was held accountable. I don't think he should have been like. I don't think he's canceled. I feel like there's some people who maybe still want to support him or whatnot, but there was so much shit that like came up after the whole Cat thing, mm-hmm. like him doing blackface and whatnot. Yeah. So it's like, I chose not to mess with him. Whether he could be, like have a billion subscribers on YouTube right now, and people could support him, and it wouldn't make me no difference. The second that I don't mess with somebody, I don't mess with somebody, and I'm not gonna be telling everybody else like you shouldn't mess with him and da da da. Mm-hmm. Or it depends. For example, if I see a friend like bumping R. Kelly, I'd be like, bro, I'm definitely judging you right now. I don't think that's cool at all. But I'm not gonna be like, I'm not your friend anymore and you're a terrible person. Like, no, it's up to each person. My choice for you. I mean, my choice for me and your choice for you.
Do you feel like a person could develop out of that and still gain the respect of his peers? Or do you feel like that the his past defines him for who
depends
he is?
Depends on what they did. Life? Depends on what they did.
Do you think Shane Dawson would be able to grow out of that or no? Because context-wise, it's weird because that time period in YouTube mm-hmm. was fucking really crazy. This is, you're talking about like the top of like racism jokes.
Yeah.
Where yeah. it was okay with everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's, and where
look at, us becoming like older and like able to say like it was a different time.
Don't even start with that, bro. Oh fuck, I do feel old. Oh, I do feel man. Old. Oh, we young, bro.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
But it's crazy though, looking back, because you know, like the start of YouTube and everything was like 2007, right?
Yeah.
And the height of that period was right in between like 2010, 2013, right? And it was weird, man. And especially you're talking about like, you know, when South Park was popping off on that shit.
South Park is an incredible show, but people forget that like the writers of South Park are geniuses. Like everybody gets it. It's not like they're bullying or punching down. Everybody gets it, no matter what. And I'm not offended because it's like, okay, this show is meant to be offensive to everyone. That's what they're trying to do. When you're antagonizing a particular group, that's different. That's where that ends for me.
Kind of bringing it back a little bit to Kevin Hart, I think what was interesting about the whole canceling thing is that I don't think it really matters in our cases or when people have individual, for them as an individual, them running their individual company or their individual brand or their face, I really don't think it fucking matters. There's some stories that I've heard within the industry where it's like, they really care about that because they have a whole team behind them. And if this person fails, their whole team fails.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important to keep that image and not get canceled as well.
But look who you're following. I feel like, and this is, does not apply to Kevin Hart. I feel like he's great, a great person, and probably great behind the scenes too. But look who you're following and placing your future in. You know what I'm saying? People look like, oh, this guy gets canceled. Like there was a lot of people who were like really, really rooting for Trump on everything, no matter what, willing to die on whatever he said because Trump may have been filling their pockets or Trump's success meant their success. If Trump got canceled or gets canceled or whatever, that's on y'all. Yeah, this is who y'all put y'all stock in. Is this your king? You know what I'm saying? So like, I think when you, not to get super political or anything, because I don't really rock with Biden either, but when you put all of your stock in one person and you believe that this is the person, you got to accept their flaws too. You got to be willing to that's the difference between now and back then. Whenever Martin Luther King got caught in the tabloids talking to other women and stuff like that, people was like, I still support and love Martin Luther King. That's his business, whatever. If you want to judge me for supporting him, it's whatever. They stood on it. Now, if you love an artist, and it depends on what they get caught doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can never support a rapist or a pedophile. Those are the two things that I'm just like, I don't care what you got going on, I can never support you again. But let's just say they were stealing fucking Girl Scout cookies. It's just like, yo, Kanye was stealing Girl Scout cookies, and that was fucked up, and I hope he changes. But that man has done so much good to outweigh that bad. And I think that integrity and sticking by your people, which can sometimes be at your own detriment, is missing.
Word. I feel that. You know what? I think this also brings up an interesting
conversation. But don't follow anybody blindly. Sorry.
For sure. No, for sure. I think this brings up an interesting conversation because how important is it to have a good circle around you? And I don't know if a person for example, like you as an artist could probably achieve to where you are right now without having a good circle around you? Mm. Do you think it has played a big part in what you do?
Nah, not at all. I really meant it when I said I can never start myself depending on another man. I love all my friends and all of my associates. I have so much love for all of you, but I've never waited on any of you to make any of the moves that I wanted to make. I've never depended on any of you. And it's not that I'm trying to be an alpha or a leader or anything like that. Y'all could choose to fuck with me and follow me if y'all want. But everybody definitely should have their own means of ways. Unless, like, it depends on what it is, for example. Like, although Do It All from Lord of the Underground is not my, he's not in my town, I supported him being councilman because that's not my lane and I don't know how to do that and I trust him in that. I think he's going to do great, but God forbid if he fucked everything up, it's like, I still rock with him. You know what I'm saying? He tried his best. Maybe I should learn a little bit more about that and do a better job and learn off of whatever he did. But yeah, man, you got to have your own, but support what you believe in.
For sure, for sure.
And who you believe in.
What do you credit most of your success to right now?
God. But let me be very specific. I'm thankful to God for making me relentless and always asking questions. When I was younger, all the adults used to be like, you talk too much, you ask too many questions. And I think God making me that way made it so I have to figure out who's in control of this. I have to figure out who's who and in which room and whatnot. And being that kind of person has like brought me so much more knowledge that other people aren't willing to go chase or go get.
What do you think is the next step for you in your career?
I was gonna tell a joke, but I think the next step for me in my career, you know, it's funny. I haven't thought about that. I always think about life. Like, what am I doing in life? If I died right now or died tomorrow, would I be happy with what I did? I don't think that far in the future, but I mean, expect more music. Expect me to be happy with the results of whatever happens. That's my goal. I have things that I want to do and achieve and whatnot, but the goal now is to be happy while doing it all.
Word. What do you do besides music, dude? What's your muse outside of it?
Little crack. What do I do besides music? I play video games every once in a while. Like, it's very, very rare now. It's like once every 2 to 3 weeks at this point.
Do you smoke?
I do not smoke. But I just started skateboarding.
Word.
Yes, and it is fun and alleviating, and it's everything that I feel like I partially needed.
What else? I know you're not into sports.
Yeah, not really, man. You know why? Because I'm not into anything that I'm not good at. That is one way that I may be a little bit of an egomaniac. If I'm not good at it, I will just like be like, nope, not doing it. While skateboarding is like, all right, I'm not good at it, but there's so many people in the world who's not good at it that I don't feel bad about it. But everybody I know can play 2K and Madden, and it's just like, okay, so what? Go you.
Like, what video games you be playing?
I play a lot of like solo adventure games like God of War, Resident Evil, Bird. Metal Gear Solid, Last of Us, Uncharted, really good series. Yeah.
Do you stream at all?
I did for a very short amount of time.
Word?
I don't think it's for me. I think I still may stream occasionally, but it's not like I don't want that to be my breadwinning thing because it's like I don't love it. I don't want to do anything I don't have passion for.
Word. I mean, that just makes sense, you know? Yeah.
Life isn't fair like that. A lot of people don't have the opportunity to do things that they love doing, and I get that. But if you can help it, man, as life is short, do all that you can to do what you want.
You seem very headstrong talking to you. How do you deal with the criticism?
You said my head game strong?
It's crazy. I don't know. Nah.
But not what you're saying?
Oh, fuck. I was saying... Sorry, I was about to be like, oh, we better find out. I don't even fucking know. My bad. How do you deal with the criticism that you get online, dude? Because you have to have had that shit, bro.
I've dealt with it bad before. I think I deal with it better now because it's like, I'm realized most of the time when people comment negative or stupid, well, actually, negative comments never got to me. It's Word. Never negative things. Mm. It's stupid things. It's stuff that doesn't even make sense.
How so?
Like, if somebody commented on a video of mine and they're like, I didn't understand a word he said, and it has a caption on it at the bottom, like, that says everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, you just chose to be ignorant today. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the stuff that, like, I sadly sometimes respond to because I'm just like, look at this idiot. Like, but other than that, like, when somebody's like, yo, you suck, or I don't like your music, it's like, oh, that's your choice. Cool. I don't understand why you commented it on my video. Like, you clearly, like, love me if you... The funniest things is people who don't follow me who comment on shit that I'm doing. It's like, you woke up today and was just like, I'm going to try to piss somebody off because my life is fucking miserable. And that's how I think about those people.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny. I always say this story how I released one song. I have one song that I've released on
rap
Spotify.
Rap it right now.
It's not rap.
Sing it.
I had a dream that I treated you right. It's called Ooh, 7 Days.
I didn't know you could really sing. I thought you was going to be like, nah, only with autotune.
No.
But nah, you really sung that.
I could actually sing.
Wow. The melody reminded me of that one song from Nirvana.
Yeah, you know what's funny? When we wrote it, well, I was in college when I wrote it. It was a breakup song, right? It was a breakup song, right? So,
most breakups start up with dreams.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's funny enough. The song when I wrote it, it's all about like the seventh day after like the breakup, and like I woke up and I had this crazy dream about it, and it was kind of like all the emotions came to me. And like, you ever have that when you're writing a song and it kind of just comes to you within like 5-6 minutes, dude, and you basically have the whole song done?
Yes, that's I live for those moments, because that's like, I mean, I know you said you only made one song, but like, as somebody who's like trying to do that forever, I like love when that happens. Because it's ease. Mike Tyson said greatness is doing something extremely hard with ease. So anytime that I have like something that's really difficult and it's just easy for me, I'm just like, ah, oh, like it feels natural. This is supposed to happen, you know?
Word, yeah. It's weird because, like I said, I was using the word before, like visceral. You know what I mean? It's like those emotions that just come out, and it's like, fuck. And I feel like
those words that sound like a spell.
Yeah.
I'm listening a bit.
But yeah, it just feels like, you know, one of those things. And I feel like when I released it, it was like very well received to people who like felt it, because it was just like from the heart. I didn't change any of the lyrics after I wrote it. I didn't change any of like how it was constructed or anything. And like, you know, when we went in and recorded, I found this great guitarist who, you know, just was able to kind of like translate my ukulele playing, because I played on the ukulele. Yeah, and that was kind of like my gig at first. I was actually part of a hip-hop band before, like a Brockhampton type of group.
Oh,
we were
word.
Called oh my god, why am I forgetting our name? Jesus Christ, embarrassing. Though we released an album, it was called Kintsugi. And yeah, like we were together for a while. It was like five of us. Some of these guys, like Mercy Morning, Alvaro Moore, Tristan. There was another beat maker that we had, Dylan Atia. It was dope. Like,
were you all Latin?
Actually, not. Yeah, you know, some of us, most of us. Dylan wasn't. Mercy's. I don't know what Mercy is. He might be part Asian. But it was really dope, and it's funny. I don't necessarily consider myself like a rapper because I like spoken word. I love poetry, and I've had a poet on here before, and I just love like trying to speak like that. And I don't think I think to get good at like rapping and hip hop, there's a whole bunch of things. It's like your delivery, the way you have your voice, and like your lyricism as well.
Do you know what rap stands for?
No, I don't.
Rhythm and poetry. So. Poetry is a major part of rap, but it's about the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the only difference between poetry and rap.
Mm-hmm. And I think my rhythm's off, or like maybe not my rhythm's off. I mean, I'm a musician. My background is sound engineering. That's what I am. So I graduated from Willie P. I'm a sound engineer.
Shout out to Willie P.
Yeah, shout out to Willie P, bro. That's my homie, my alma mater. But I studied classical euphonium. That was my major. And then my minor was classical opera. So that was my minor. And do you know what a euphonium is?
No.
Euphonium is basically like a mini tuba.
Oh. And I thought that was like a alloy, like a metal alloy.
It sounds like it, right? Yeah. But euphonium actually comes from a Latin word that means like beautiful voice. And euphonium is actually considered one of the one brass instrument that is closest to the human voice as a way of expression and stuff. Because it gets lost a lot when you're listening to huge concert bands, because it literally fits right in between the tuba and the trombone. And so when they're all playing together, usually you hear how the trombone stands out, and then you hear how the tuba comes out because that's such a low resonating frequency, right?
Yeah.
But when you hear like the euphonium come out, baritone, you know, like a baritone voice, you know, it's right in between like tenor and bass, right? When you hear those baritones come out, it's almost like this low high frequency type thing. It's like the highest of the low, right?
I love how passionate you're getting talking about this.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's like, because music, dude, like from the beginning, bro, was like everything to me, bro. And like sitting down with like people like you who have studied this and now trying to build a community behind what everything that's happening in Jersey. Back in the day, all the most famous composers were all fighting each other. They were all fighting each
like
other.
Trying to,
not like
battle.
Not, yeah, trying to battle.
Oh, okay.
Being like, yo, like
I thought it was like thugs.
Nah. They were thugs in a sense like, yo, I could play piano better than you, so I'm gonna get every other gig that you want, right?
Mm.
And they were also judgmental on each other's music. And then one day there was this guy who was just like in the Broad Street Conservatory in Philadelphia.
Mm.
He was like, yo, why are we doing this and not just being like musicianly men? You know, and he kind of brought them all together, and they started realizing, yo, like, we can't do this alone. Like, we can, but like, it would be better if we just help each other and collaborate. And they realized that way, way back then, you know. And then now I'm here in Jersey, you know, growing up and like trying to find like, you know, things to do. And trust me, dude, I've been to grimy studios before, seeing people trying to make their thing. I mean, everybody goes through that. And then learning stuff through hip hop, but also growing up in the classical community, like, you know, culture, you know, and dealing with these two different cultures and always dealing with, you know, like, oh, like, you know, I'm something. Who said it? Who said it? Who was here? I'm trying to remember who was on the podcast who was saying this. I think it was Hassan. Hassan, he's Slippers and Socks on Instagram. Mm. He was saying for Pakistan, he was like, you know, he's like, I came to America. They said I was an American. I went to Pakistan. They said I wasn't Pakistani. Came back to America. They said I still was American. He's like, what am I? And that's what he named his clothing brand after. It's called Wildlands, right? He's like, I'm in the Wildlands. I'm by myself.
Mm.
And
that's dope as hell.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I felt.
I would love to see his clothing later.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So wait. Winter Break and Wildlands.
His name's Slippers and Socks. He's a photographer, actually. Mm. He's dope as hell. And he works with, he has his own photography, kind of business with his partners. It's called Ego Campaign.
Mm.
And they work with people like Reg Mason, Vibe World.
Reg Mason, that's my guy. That dude is gifted.
Yeah, dude, that's my boy, bro. He was here yesterday night. I was chilling with him, bro.
What?
Yeah, dude. It's a small world, dude.
Wow. It's not a small world because they come from, they don't live around here, right?
They live in Union.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's a ways.
Reg Mason, Groovy, Jacob, you know, all of them. Like, they're mad dope.
I need to get in touch with everyone else you just mentioned because I know Reg Mason well because I worked with him. But I don't know the others as well. I would like to connect with them.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, like, it's weird growing up and trying to get all this stuff together. I think basically what my main thought process of all this was is, like, this all comes from wanting to bring everybody together, wanting to do kind of what you're doing. And it's weird how, you know, I don't think this would have happened if each of us wasn't doing what we're doing right now, you know?
Facts.
And it's kind of building.
And had that line.
And I'm very brand new to this game, so I definitely have a lot to, like, learn and shit, you know what I mean, philosophical-wise as well, because, you know, everybody could talk game, everybody could talk business, everybody could talk how much I love shit, but I think it's kind of the underground shit and learning the history behind it that really sets the foundation of what is to come, you know?
Yeah.
I think about that thought. We're coming pretty close to the end of the podcast,
right,
time-wise. But is there anything that you wanted to say specifically that we didn't get to?
A new project on the way. I don't have a release date, but the rollout is beginning. And all I'm going to say now is that it's called The Internet is a Terrible Place.
Sweet. I actually have one more question for you that I've actually been asking a lot of other artists because I feel like it's important for people who are on the come up or who decide to go on this journey because it's a difficult mountain to climb.
Mm.
Has there ever been a part in your career so far that you have felt like it might not work out and you might have to give up what you're doing?
Mm.
And if there was, how did you work through it?
I thought, being a religious person, I had to keep in mind that as much as God says yes, sometimes he says no. So if he ever did say no and said, like, no, this isn't for you, you need to sit this out, I would most likely still try to do something along the lines of what I do. So, like, when my mom asked me, if rapping doesn't work, what are you going to do? I'd be like, oh, producing. Okay, if producing doesn't work, engineering. All right, if engineering doesn't work, music teacher. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still want to, no matter what, have my passion be fulfilled. But I don't really believe in, like, plan Bs. I just, you know, have a lot of kids, so... I don't believe in second plans at all. It's just, you know, if you're doubting yourself, man, I gotta leave it at this. Don't do anything that you're not passionate for. If you have truly lost your passion and you don't have a love for what you're doing anymore, don't do it. Find something else that fulfills that and scratches that itch. But if you have a passion for it but feel like the world isn't responding the way that you want to respond it, it's back to the drawing board. You just got to figure it out. There's no other way. There's no one kind of advice that can really help you with that. I mean, there's the cliche, you never know when it's all going to work out, so just keep on going. I'm sure you've all seen that picture where the dude is like, there's two people like digging with a pickaxe, and one person finds like a piece of gold and is satisfied, and then the other person is like about to give up. Or is like giving up and walking away. But you can see, like, on the other end of, like, if you just would have pickaxed just a little bit longer, there was, like, a shit ton of gold. So, yeah, like, you never know when it's going to really happen for you. So don't stop.
For sure.
Unless you lose passion, then you don't really care if it happens or not.
Dude, I appreciate you for coming here. Samad, please let the people know.
Shit, I came here?
Please let the people know where they can find you, man.
You can find me anywhere at my name, Samad Savage. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm sure he's going to put my name in the title. If not, hopefully the description. If he just does not want to give me any kind of credit at all, you spell that as S-A-M-A-D-S-A-V-A-G-E. And that is my name everywhere. You want to find out what I'm doing most recently? Follow me on social medias, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Real Samad Savage. And Spotify at Samad Savage. And everything is Samad Savage for the most part. SamadSavage.com. You can find all those links there too.
Sick. And fellas, y'all already know the business. AOCHO Podcast, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We got an OnlyFans that we're working on as well for exclusive content. So go show some love there. And my boy, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Dude, a pleasure, bro.
For sure. It's still recording?
Yeah.
Before you dap me up. Screw with it! Alright, that's it.